I'm excited about sharing this message today. With Veterans Day, I begin to think about some different things about our country and how God's watched over us all these years, even through our own foolishness and failures. He still loves us, and he watches over our nation. And this word just came out of my spirit in my office, Mission Possible, March On. Because with God, every mission is possible. The Bible says that all things are possible with God. And sometimes I think we fail to remember that we have the risen Savior living in us. We have resurrection power living in us. And we don't always tap into that. We tap into what we feel, what we see. Bible says walk by faith, not by sight, all that stuff. Yeah, 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 right. Sounds great, but do we do it? Do we live that way? A lot of times we don't. We see a mountain, and that's what we see. We don't see God. We see a valley, that's what we see. We don't see God. We see an obstacle, that's what we see. We don't see God. And so I want to talk about how missions are possible through God, and that how he wants us to march on and keep going forward. Because if we do not march forward, we will begin to go backwards. And we'll never get to where God wants us to be by marching backwards. So we're going to read out of Numbers chapter 13 and some of 14. And you probably know a little bit about the story if you've been in church very much and you've heard this. This is the story. And what I love about this, the children of Israel were marching on to the promised land. Remember, they'd been delivered from Pharaoh and delivered from all those plagues, and none of those plagues touched them, and now they're on their way to the promised land, and they're almost at the end of their journey when this happens. How many times do we get to almost the end of where God wants to be, and then we give up or we fall back? And we're right there, we can almost touch it. Here's the children of Israel who were marching on and who had gotten to the brink of the promised land. And Moses sent 12 spies to go spy out the land to see how it looked and to see how the people looked, to see how the cities were built, so they would have a game plan, number one. But number two, God was showing them something. I think two points here we can take into account why spies were sent out. Number one was because they wanted them to see how beautiful the land was to motivate them, that this was a land flowing with milk and honey. We've heard that expression in church, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? It's not talking about a gallon of seal test and, you know, some bear honey, of course. Milk and honey. It means that it's a land of plenty. It's a land of many resources. It's a land where people can make a good living. It's a land of prosperity. And so he sent them to see how good this land was to motivate them. You know, me and Melanie's had this debate before. Let's do a survey here, okay? Kind of off topic. Well, not really off topic, but kind of ties in. Do a survey of what motivates you. If you're trying to lose weight, and you have a picture or a poster of a very fit person, a skinny person, does that motivate y'all? If that's a motivator, raise your hand. Somebody that's skinny and looks good, it motivates you. All right. If you ever watched that show, My 600-Pound Life, how does that motivate you? Does that motivate y'all more? Melis always says, it motivates me more to see that because I don't want to get there versus somebody that looks, you know, like me. So they were sending them to this land to be motivated, number one. And number two, the point was, I believe, was they would see these people we read about, and these people were big, and they were strong, and they were great, and they were many. But I think God was letting them know that your face got to be placed in me on this, and I don't know what you see. So many times we measure whether we can succeed or not based on what we see in front of us, instead of seeing the God that lives in us, just like with David and Goliath. David didn't see the size of Goliath. He saw the size of God. It's all about, that's why it's important we magnify God. We make God bigger, magnify to enlarge. We make God bigger than our problem. That's why it's important we praise him and worship, because the more we praise God, I mean, you know, the more you tell your child, your wife, your husband, hey, you look good and you smell nice and I like that shirt. I like, you know, gosh, I like your hair. You know, you start feeling pretty good about yourself, right? It builds you up. We start building God up. God, you're my redeemer. God, you're my healer. God, you're my savior. God, you can do it. God, you part the Red Sea. God, you slay the giant. God, you close the mouth of the lions. God, you walked on water. God, you did this, you did that, you did that. The more we do that, it builds our faith in him up because we start seeing God. And so he sends 12 spies out to spy out this land, and they're almost there. Now remember, they're almost there. We're going to pick up in 13, and we'll skip around a little bit. 1 through 3, first of all. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one of you, a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness to Paran, all those who were heads of the children of Israel. Now let's backtrack a little bit and remind ourselves of something. God has promised them this land. Remember, he brought them out of 400 years of slavery and says, I'm giving you a promised land. They'd already been through 10 plagues, and those 10 plagues didn't touch them. Think about this. This church gets filled with an epidemic of frogs. I mean, millions of frogs, but they're only on this side. They ain't none of y'all got no frogs. And they're all right there. Wow. Okay. You know? And then comes, you know, the lice, and here comes the flies, and they're all on just your side. There ain't nobody. You know, Gail's sitting there drinking lemonade. Y'all sitting there like at the Holy Ghost. Gail's just sitting there, man, what's wrong with them? Plagues. All of you bring your dogs in or your cats. All you. And y'all bring your dogs and cats in. All your dogs and cats die. All of them. Every one of them. Last meow, last bark. Sorry, Ivy. They're gone. Gail still got his little Bella. Not Bella. Is that her name? Daisy. He's got a little Daisy. Daisy's fine. Joe's dog's fine. Rodney's cats and Tammy's cats are fine. Everybody's fine. Their cats are still meowing, still barking. All your dogs and cats, croak, they're gone. And you see that. They were living in the same town. And the plagues hit them, but didn't touch them. And they saw that. Not just once, not just twice, not just three times, but 10 times. And then the 10th time, the death angel came to destroy the firstborn. Remember what God told the people of Israel? Take the blood, put it on top of your door, and when the death angel comes by and it sees the blood, it shall pass by. That's what happened. The death angel came. Mothers of the Egyptians cried out in the night, but there wasn't a murmur from the mother of the Israelites because death did not touch them. They saw God 10 times take a miracle, a miraculous encounter and separate them from them. They saw that. And if that wasn't enough, they're marching along, singing their hymns, and they get to the Red Sea. And then here comes Pharaoh's army after them. They're trapped between an army and they're trapped between a body of water. Where do we go from here? And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he lifted his staff and the waters parted. Church, I don't know about y'all. I've been in the ocean a bunch of times. I ain't never seen no water parted. The most I saw was a riptide. I ain't never seen no water part. And here the Red Sea blew back, and here come God's people marching where water used to be, and now it's dry. The Bible says they walked on dry ground. And then when they got across, I guess God fell asleep, right? Oh, I didn't mean to let the water go and not kill all the, killed all the Egyptians. Of course he did. It was intentional. The same water he held up to save the Hebrews, he let go to destroy the enemy. They saw that. 10 plagues, Red Sea. They even saw water come out of a rock. They saw manna every morning on the ground. Where did it come from? Magically on the ground appeared this manna that they would go out and gather before it got hot and spoiled, and they would bring it in, and it would sustain them. They saw God protect them on their march as they're going forward. They saw God over and over and over. Now they're almost there. I mean, think about what they've come out of, and they're almost there. The next exit, man, you're like, this is exit 54, they're at exit, you know, 52. I mean, they're right there, about to get off the exit. And then Moses says, go spy out the land, and let's see what happens, what they come back with. We're going to skip to verse 18. And see the land which is, and this is Moses' instruction, see how the land is, and the people that dwelleth there, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be, whether they be in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. But be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now this was the time of the first ripe grapes. Let's get down to 25. He gave instructions, now verse 25. They returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went, and they came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and brought back word to them and said to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, the verse before that, they gather fruit, they gather figs and grapes and pomegranates. and stuck it on a big old pole, and two men had to carry it on their shoulders. They brought back all this fruit to show, yeah, this is a good land. This is some good stuff. Here it is. And they told him, and says, we came to the land where thou sentest, and it surely does flow with milk and honey. Remember, prosperity. It was rich in resources. And this is the fruit of it. So they say, here's the land. Here's the milk and honey. The fruit is great. It's a good place. But nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Now, Anak was a tribe that was known for tall people. The word Anak means long-necked, which indicates they were tall people, big people. So they come back with this report. People are strong, they're big, and the cities are walled. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. So they're complaining about all these people, about these walled cities, about how big they are. Look at verse 30. A voice cried out, Caleb, steeled the people before Moses. That word steeled means to hush, to keep silent, to hold your tongue. There's a concept, isn't it? Next time somebody gets your nerves, just says, be still. That's a nice way of saying shut up. Be still. Next time Sherman gets on your nerves, Mindy, be still. Sherman, be still. He's telling him to shut up because he's got something else to say. Here's what Caleb said. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Why was Caleb's attitude so different than the rest of the spies? Because his faith was in God. It wasn't in what he saw. He knew, man, we got God. Don't we quote verses like, you know, us religious folks, we like quoting verses, right? If God be for us, who can be against us? I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I'm more than an overcomer by the blood of Jesus. I'm sanctified, people, and I'm glorified, and I'm justified. We say all that stuff, and we quote those verses. By his stripes I am healed. But then here comes the giant. Here comes the wall. Here comes the obstacle. Here comes the real deal. Here comes life. Here comes the reality of what we're facing. Here comes our stronghold, our fear, our addiction, our divorce, our wayward child, our cancer, whatever tries to come in front of us, and many times it stops us in our tracks, and we fail to remember we serve a God who is well able to overcome anything that stands before me, because the God of angel armies is all around me, and he is fighting my battle. He is taking my course. He's making my path straight. He is making a way. He is going ahead of me and preparing my destiny in the midst of my problem. He is preparing something I can't even see, and all he tells me to do is keep marching on. March, 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 march until we get to the end, and don't fail to stop. If you're a soldier, you had to march when it rained, march when it snowed, march when it was hot, march when it's cold, march when you was tired, and march when you was feeling good. March when you was hungry, and march when you was full. You marched and you marched and you marched, and you didn't tell your leader, I don't feel like marching today. I'm just gonna stay here. Oh yeah, you gonna stay here? All right. Yeah, you gonna stay here in my boot somewhere? Yeah, you gonna stay here? All right. You gonna march, boy? You gonna march and you gonna like it? And you gonna now? I'm gonna make you say, I love to march. I love to march, sir. I love to march, sir. I love to march, sir. Here is God who's equipped us with all that we need. See, when we get saved, church, it's not just, I'm going to heaven now. Salvation means empowerment. It means, when I get saved, when you give your heart to Jesus, don't you get all of them? When I married Mel, she got all of me. Man, she's a lucky woman. She got all of me. When she married me, she married my good stuff and my bad stuff. She married the personality traits she likes about me, and she married the ones that get on her last nerve. She married me for my beautiful physique, and she married me that I would gain 50 pounds later. She married me when I had a mullet, knowing one day I might not have a mullet. She married all of me. When we give our hearts to Christ, We get all of who he is. And he's more than just a ticket to heaven. Man, he is the healer that lives inside of us. He is the deliverer that lives inside of us. He is the one that busts every wall and slays every giant and overcomes every battle and calms every storm. That's who lives inside of us. We don't just get a little saving Jesus. You know, this ain't Will Ferrell, dear baby Jesus. I mean, man, he's not a baby no more. He is the he is the risen Savior. I mean, man, whatever we desire, whatever we need, God is the great I am. I am the one that can go before you. Don't look at what you're seeing, but look at who you're serving. Don't look at what stands in front of you, but look on who lives inside of you. I am the one that can do anything at any time for anybody. And here is Caleb saying, just hush, we're able to do it. Let's go do it now. Let's go, you know, I know Larry, when he was a police officer, loved his job. And I'm sure he was the first one that wanted to go on call. Let me go do it. I'll chase him down. I'll beat him up. I'll do it, boss. I'm excited. Let me pop a cap up in him. I get it. Come on. I'm excited. That's kind of, you know, let's be excited and passionate for God like that and realize, God, I give it to you. You can do this. You didn't call us out of 400 years of slavery. You didn't send 10 plagues. I mean, I'm talking about this wasn't something like, I mean, this was massive epidemic, all 10 plagues. Remember what the first plague was? All the water turned to blood and all the fish died. Then there was a plague of darkness that covered the whole earth. And then, of course, that last plague, the firstborn being destroyed. And that's when Pharaoh finally let them go. They had saw all of that. They had seen God move. And they brought them out. And they took possession. They took all the stuff with them. And they're marching along. And they get almost to the end. And now, all of a sudden, the walls are too tall. And the people are too big for God. Really? What God are we serving? If we could hold signs up in the stadiums, right, in Rothenberger we trust, can't we hold up some Jesus signs? In Christ I trust. Jesus is the answer to every problem of life. And he is bigger than every problem of life. And though we go through storms and though we go through things we don't desire, God can still give us the joy, peace, and rest going through that we need to get us to the other side. He didn't call them out to leave them. He didn't call them out to destroy them. Let's see what the response was in 31. But the other men that went up with him says, we be not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we. Aren't you glad our American military has never felt that way? Chris Nitz, did you ever feel that way? They're stronger than I am. That's right. Can you imagine the greatest generation, if they would have said, well, they stronger than us. They marched on that shore, and they took it by force. They marched on, and many lives were lost, but they marched on. As they fell by the wayside, they kept marching. As they laid down their life, the ones that are living kept marching. They kept marching. They kept marching until victory. How could they possibly say that they are stronger than we when they serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I mean, they're singing Jehovah Jireh songs, right? Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Nisi. You reign in victory, except them people because they're bigger than me. Jehovah Jireh, they maybe look like a liar. I mean, whatever, they're singing. And now all of a sudden they seen God do all of these things. And now these 11 spies, 10 spies, because Joshua was also positive, but 10 of the spies says they're bigger, they're stronger than us. We can't do it. Wow. You can't do it. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched under the children of Israel, saying, the land, though which we have gone to search it, is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature.
And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. See, their attitude was, in their own sight, we're weaker. We're less than. We can't do this. How could a people who had seen so much still be in this place in their mind? Oh my gosh, God, look what you've done. You told us you're going to take us to a promised land. We know we have a promise waiting on us. And then the devil attacks us and the devil comes against our lives. We can always tell him and whistle that song, I'm on my way to Beulah Land. And you can't do a thing about it. I'm on my way to Beulah Land. So get out of my way, Satan. I'm marching on. The attacks will come. I'm marching on. Sickness will come. I'm marching on. Depression will come. I'm marching on. Fear will come. I'm marching on. Doubt will come. I'm marching on. Unbelief will come. I'm marching on. Shame and guilt will come against me. I'm going to march on. I'm going to march. Here's what I visualize right now. Someone marching down an aisle, and all of the things on the outside of them that are trying to hold them back will fall off as they march. They'll fall off. The sleeve of fear will fall off. The leg of doubt will fall off. These things will shed off of our lives as we continue to march forward. But as long as we stop and begin to go backwards, we are giving in and the enemy is winning that battle over our lives. Church, we have the power of Jesus living inside of us. We don't have to live in fear. We don't have to live in pain. We don't have to live in shame. We don't have to live in all that stuff anymore. The blood of Jesus has truly made us free because guess what? He is alive forevermore. Alive in us. Alive in the world. Alive in the universe. Jesus is alive. And because he's alive, we live too. So here's their attitude. We can't do it, Moses. They're bigger. They're stronger. Let's see what happens in the next chapter. 14:1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and they cried. Sounds like this generation, don't it? No offense, y'all. And they cried. And the other people wept that night. Now, I just think about the changing attitude. Can you imagine Chris Netsu is getting ready? He's overseas. They're about to invade a country. And he just sits down and starts weeping and crying. We can't do it. Them Iranians are bigger than us. We can't do it. They got bigger guns, bigger tanks, bigger shikis, whatever you call it. They got bigger stuff. Whatever. That's a Japanese place, sorry. They got bigger stuff. Yeah, sorry. Can you imagine that? No, they rose up. They said, you know what? We can do it. We can take it. But here they are crying. They're weeping. You know why they're crying and weeping? Because they think the battle's lost. They think they're not getting in now. Oh, no. We went all this way. Like Wally World, right? Bless his heart. All that he went through. And they're closed. And he hits the moose in the mouth. Sorry, y'all. We closed. Are you kidding me? Do you know what I've been through? You know what my car smells like? And you're saying you're closed? Here, we see this. They get all this way. Man, they went through a lot of the hard stuff. They'd seen God move and they're at the brink of the next final step. And now they're not going to make it. They're thinking, we're not going to get in. And they think it so much. Look what they say. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation. And they said, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. They had no hope of getting in. They said, I wish we'd died. You know what they were saying? I wish we never left. Are you serious? You are a slave. You are bound by taskmasters, and you would rather go back to that than walk in your freedom. Church, spiritually, we got freedom. We don't have to listen to what the devil tells us. Tell him, be still and shut your mouth, because I'm not letting your voice or your words penetrate into my heart, because you are a liar. So be still and shut up. I'm only going to hear the voice of God because He lives inside of me. And that's more powerful than anything. Greater is He, right? Word of God says that. Greater is He that's in me than that report that comes against you, that situation that comes against you. I know we have some dire moments in life and we can't control things. And I know things happen that seem awfully unfair. Just like Dale, who passed away a few weeks ago. Most of y'all don't know him, but he passed away. And right before he passed away, I asked him, I said, I know it don't seem fair. You got married 2 years ago. You got cancer. They give you a few months to live. It don't seem fair. He looked at me. He says, well, how can I determine if it's fair or not? I've not seen the final outcome. Wow, what a testimony that is. Church, you've not seen your final outcome. All the children of Israel saw, they thought their final outcome was right there. Oh, roadblock, train track, bars are down, we can't go no further. Our journey has stopped. No, it hadn't. It was only just beginning. But they couldn't see it because all they could see was the problem in front of them instead of the problem solver inside of them. God is greater than anything against us. So it says verse 4, they said one to another, they went so far, look at this, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. I mean, man, I bet God's thinking, okay, so I turn all the water to blood, right, and I kill all the fish. Then I plague them with frogs, then lice, then flies. Then all the livestock I disease except yours, all the cows, goats, sheep, chickens, roosters, pigs, whatever. They all died. Then I put boils on everybody. Y'all know what a boil is. Boil. 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 I'm from the South. Boil. Then I sent you hail. H-A-I-L, not H-E-L-L. I sent hail in the land, destroyed all the crops. Then I sent locust. Then I sent darkness, and then I killed the firstborn of all the enemy. All right, so I did all that work. And then I get to the Red Sea, and I part it for you. I just, you know, do a little... Yeah, blow the water for you. Then you get thirsty and you're whining. Oh, I'm thirsty. Ain't no water, Moses. Okay, well, let me just give you water. I don't know. I have a rock. Pretty unique. So I do all that work and you want to go back. You want to turn and go back. I mean, what do they want to do? Go back and turn themselves in. Okay, we'll be slaves again. Here, master, take us back. We like being slaves better than we like being free. Yes, I know. You know what she just said in baby talk? Listen to that man. They wanted to go back to the bondage they were in instead of enjoying the promises God was about to give them. Because we get to a roadblock and we think God's done. You ever watch Dukes of Hazzard? What'd they do when they had a roadblock? Just the good old boys. Old Roscoe Pico train ain't getting me. Roadblock. Are they serious, man? I'm in the General Lee, baby. Man, we need to take that on spiritually. Roadblock? You gonna try to make me afraid? Uh-uh. Whom shall I fear? If God be for me, who shall be against me? You gonna try to make me depressed? Oh, yeah, sorrow for a night, but joy in the morning. You gonna try to bring sickness on me and make me think I'm gonna die? Mm-mm. Because the Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. And so I claim that promise. Man, if we start coming back against the enemy with the word of God and the God that's in us, we will see things change. They want to go back to Egypt. Let's make a captain. And we want to go back and go back to what we come out of. My God, how can you go back to what you come out of? Now I know some of y'all ain't came out of this yet, but I'm gonna tell you something I came out of. I cannot eat canned treat or Spam anymore. I ate that as a kid. Dad would fry that stuff up with some eggs. Tasted great. I outgrew that stuff. I can't eat no Spam no more, man. I got to have some better quality stuff. I can't go back to what God brought me out of. I used to divine those sausages, little weenies. I used to love them things. Suck that little jelly right off of them. Ah, yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I wouldn't touch that jelly down the 10-foot pole. That jelly would probably kill you. Before all of us got cancer, that jelly and vine and sausage. Man, when God brings you out of something. You know, I learned how to ride a bike. Well, I learned how to ride a big wheel. Remember the big wheels?
I love my big wheel. Oh. So I rode a big wheel. Then I rode a bicycle with training wheels. Then I rode a regular bike. Then I got a car. And I like my car. I would not want to go back to riding a bike everywhere I went. I'm gonna go visit Bill, honey. I'll be right back. 32 miles later. No. I'm glad I got a car I can crank with heat and air and just go with it. Why would I go back to riding a bike when I've learned how to drive a car? Why do we go back to what God brought us out of? Maybe you were bound, yes. And maybe you were a slave to the enemy and a slave to your own destruction, a slave to your own thoughts. But once God begins to move in your life and bring you out of that, he's giving you marching orders. He gave them marching orders. Look, remember what he told them that night before? He says, pack your stuff, get your shoes ready, get everything ready, because when I say go, you got to go. And them Israelites had to prepare themselves. And then God says, go. And here they are ready and prepared to march. And God did not tell them to stop marching until they got into the promised land. But they stopped one step too soon. They stopped right outside the nation of where God wanted them. Verse 5, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. They were so overcome by this doubt of the people. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, and they began to rent their clothes, tearing their clothes as a sign of repentance and remorse. They spake to all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and he will give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land. For they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. The Lord is with us. Why are we afraid? I got God on my side. I am a child of God. He is my father. I am his son. Remember when Jesus says that even a natural father with all of his sins and stuff, if his son asked for bread, he wouldn't give him a serpent? How much more our heavenly Father, who loves us, gives us what we desire. But we see the circumstance, and this is why you should never Google anything about your health. Ever. Because every website's got you dead. My left elbow's itching. You got 3 months. I mean, I'm telling you, it will scare the... Do not... I used to do that kind of stuff. You remember when I used to do that? I don't do it no more. I could be a level 10 stage 4 pain. I ain't Googling nothing. I'll just live with it and hope God heals me. Because I ain't going to scare myself anymore. Sometimes we Google stuff spiritually too much. The problem comes, well, here's what will probably happen. Here's what could happen. Instead of saying, God, what can you do about it? God, you didn't bring me this far in my life to fail me now. You didn't rescue me from the bondage of sin to leave me homeless now. You're with me everywhere I go. Like the old song, every breath I take, every breath I breathe, every step I take, I am there with you. I'll be watching you, yeah. Thank you. I'll be watching you. Think about that. God knows every breath that we breathe, and God knows our problem before it comes. So what's our responsibility? It's like Caleb. God, I trust you. You're bigger. You can do it. I trust you more. He's wanting to preach, ain't she? I trust you more. Give my next slide. Look at this. It's a good one. Hang on. Okay. Look at this. Fear cannot exist in the presence of faith. Don't panic over your attic. I love that. Isn't that great? Don't panic over your attic. And we all got them. Everybody's got an attic in their life or multi-attics. You know, some of us are worry warts. Anybody here a worry wart? That's kind of your nature. You just worry about everything. Yeah, everything. Worry is not good. Worry causes health problems. It causes relationship problems. Worry causes mental problems. Why are we panicking over the things that appear to be bigger? Now, yes, I know there's things bigger than us. We can't heal ourselves of cancer, but God can. We can't maybe ourselves definitely have to say, you know, save our wayward child, but God can. We don't protect ourselves on the highways. I don't care what kind of driver you say you are. I'm a good driver, man. I ain't never had no wreck because I'm good. No, you're only God watching after your hind end. That's the only thing. It's God protecting you because He protects us. He provides for us. He gives us everything that we need. Whenever we are walking in faith, fear cannot live because they're polar. Faith cancels out fear, and fear cancels out faith. Depends on what you're walking in. So we've got to be careful because fear is a real thing. Fear can take over our lives in an instant. We've got to remind ourselves, God, You're the general of this army. Like I talked Wednesday night, last Sunday, the biography I gave of God. You know, You ain't lost a battle. You've not dropped the ball. You know, You've never thrown an interception. You've got a perfect record. You're eternal. You're forever because You're God. It's time that we begin to march on no matter what we're seeing and quit letting every single obstacle stop our march. Yes. It's like I said, hallelujah, didn't you? Hello, baby. It is time we march forward. It's time we take our post and we only listen to the instructions of our commanding officer, which is the Holy Spirit. Lord, You lead me, You speak to me, You guide me. I'm ready to march forward. Come up here, Marge, if you got something ready to play. Every one of you have an Anakin in this room today. There's giants in your life that look bigger than what you can overcome, and that's got you bound. I want to encourage you today, just as Caleb did. And just to let you know this. We don't have time to get into it this morning. But all that generation of Israel, the ones that were doubting, they did not get in. They died and did not get in. Caleb did. Caleb and his descendants got in the promised land because of his faith. But the others died. Think about that. They saw the 10 plagues. God delivered them. They saw the Red Sea parted, water from a rock, man on the ground, shoes didn't wear out. God kept their health all that time. And they get to the very end, and their doubt cost them their promise because they stopped marching. The one thing about someone going to a nursing home, the biggest area of concern I see with older people go to a nursing home is they stop walking. They get to a nursing home and they don't walk like they used to. Y'all know what happens? You stop walking, what happens? You can't walk then. You lose your muscles. As they sit there day after day without using their legs, it gets to a point they can't hardly walk at all anymore because they lose all their strength. You may be weak today. And you may feel like, I can't keep marching on. You don't understand, Pastor. I'm tired. Some of you soldiers, y'all know what tired is. Carrying them backpacks, 100-degree heat, thirsty and hungry. You know what tired is. But you keep on marching. Every step that you take in a step of faith, God will strengthen that step. He'll strengthen step after step until He gets you to where you want to be. Don't you stop marching. Don't you let other people pull you out of your march. Don't even let your husband or wife. See, I married a man and I love her. She's my best friend. Been married 26 years, my very best friend. And I'm her best friend, and I was up till right now. Hope I still am. But our spiritual walk is individual. And there's things that I would do, or maybe Melanie would do spiritually, that we might not even agree with or understand, but it's our walk. And no matter what Melanie says, what my kids say, I'm not going to let them stop my march. I'm not going to let y'all stop my march. I'm not going to let my mom and dad stop my march. I'm going to keep on. Because that's what God wants us to do. Right now, some of you are not the end of your journey. You're in the very heat of the battle. It's okay. Keep marching. Keep fighting. Keep believing. Keep trusting. keep moving forward. Don't panic over your attic. God's got this. Man, we sing the song as kids that God's got the whole world right in his hands. If I believe that God is creator of everything that I see and know, he can surely take care of the battle in front of me. He can surely take... See, we measure our battles by their size against our lives. But we start measuring our battle against the size of God. It changes how it looks. You know, Rodney's a pretty tall guy. Rodney's about, what, 6'1"? Nice height, 6'1". And you say, hey, Rodney, you're tall. And then Brad, my friend Brad, walks in. He's 6'5". Oh, Rodney's short. Because here's Rodney, here's Brad. It's all about what you're looking at. I want you to start looking at the tallest person in the room. That's him. He's head and shoulders above everybody else standing. Whenever the devil sees us, he sees the blood. And when he sees us, he sees that shadow of God behind us. It's kind of like how you walk up to somebody and you want to pick a fight, and then a big old bouncer walks up behind them and standing there. You see that bouncer like, oh, yeah, never mind, my bad. And you back off. When the enemy comes against our lives, look who's behind me. You really want to fight this? I'm going on, and I'm marching forward. Let's stand together this morning. Let's do something this morning. I'm just sitting here. I just felt pressed to do this just now. If you want to make a decision today that from this day forward, I'm going to march on. I'm marching forward. I am absolutely not going to stop marching. I'm ready. God, I'm ready to march forward for you. Here's what I want you to do. We have this middle aisle right here. I want you to step out. If you're feeling into that, step out and just make, I want you to make a perfectly line, two lines, or on each side. Just make a perfect line and stay right in the middle aisle. A perfect line, like you would in the military. Say, I'm ready. Get in line, darling. Line. Perfect line. We won't go this way, like a line. And we are going to declare the word of God on your lives. That from this day forward, you have your marching orders. The Holy Spirit's going to equip you to keep moving forward with your life. No matter what you see. Because some of you, you're marching. It's okay. It's kind of a, you're marching. But there's a lot of weakness there in your march. And you need strength in that march. You need your eyes fixed on him to such a point that nothing around you distracts you. Go ahead and sing a little bit, Margie. We can make two lines. If you want to, if you're on that side, make one line, two lines, however we need. Make it a straight line. I want a straight line.
I know that you are for me, and I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses, and I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me, I know that you are for me, I know that you are for me, and I know that you will never forsake me in my weaknesses, and I know that you have come down, even if you ride upon my heart, to remind me, I know that you are for me, I know that you are for me, and I know that you forsake me in my weaknesses, and I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my heart, remind me of who you are.
Just play the music real soft.
declare something together this morning, okay? I want everybody in these two lines to repeat as the Lord gives me this word this morning. I stand here before you, God, ready to march. Ordain my feet to march. Fix my eyes to march. Open my ears to march. This day forward, I will march. I will not be distracted. I will not stop. I will not give up. I will not turn around and retreat. I will march. I will march steady. I will march forward. I will march always until the very end of my journey. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. It's time that we march and don't be distracted, but keep going forward. God's got plans for y'all. Great and mighty plans. And the enemy wants to pull you to the left and pull you to the right. But you stay steady and you keep your eyes on the commanding officer who is always saying, follow my lead. And the plan may seem bizarre and the plan may seem impractical, but stay steady to the plan God has given you. Stay steady to that. It doesn't have to look right to be right. It don't have to make sense to be sense. Just follow the plan of God and never fail to keep marching. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you and we praise you that this day forward, we are going to possess the land because the walls aren't tall enough and the giants aren't big enough to stop what you have prepared for us and our future. And we thank you, God, that we have the victory now, tomorrow, and always in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank y'all very much.